Morning, the book of Philemon. Pick your chapter, but we'll be in verse number 4. So Philemon, and we're going to look at a very interesting passage about our faith and what God wants us to do with our faith. So the book of Philemon is the book right before the book of Hebrews, and we're going to look at verses 4 to 7 together. Beginning in verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So the communication of thy faith. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for this privilege to join together and to open your word. And we pray that you'd use it in our lives now to teach and grow us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that every believer would open his or her heart to hear from the Holy Spirit today and allow you to work miracles in our lives. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in our service that's not a believer, that's not born again, that they will realize they need Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their only hope for heaven, and they would be born again. May you be glorified in this service. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to a man named Philemon, and it's quite a beautiful letter about Paul wanting Philemon to accept a servant or a slave of his back who had gotten saved. And Paul had obviously won Philemon to the Lord somewhere in his ministry as well, and just encouraging him to do the right thing. But in the midst of that, Paul then reveals to us how important it is that our faith be something that we do. You know, you've heard me say many times that love is action, so is faith, as we'll see. So starting there in verse 4, he says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. So notice that he's talking about our love and our faith, and he says that he's heard about it and that it's toward Jesus and toward the saints. In other words, that our faith and our love is something that can be heard about and seen in action. And this is what God wants. God wants us to put feet to our faith. He wants us to love with what we do, and it's all about putting Jesus first and reaching out to others. So we see here love and faith. Now, love is action. We know that if you go to 1 John chapter 3, we'll see this. And you've heard me say it way too many times. But the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave. He did something. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. I was telling a young couple recently in counseling, I said, you know, people really don't fall in love. They fall downstairs. But we grow into love by learning to love each other properly. And love is what we do. The feelings will follow. That's why arranged marriages, believe it or not, have a higher or lower incidence of divorce than non-arranged marriages. Imagine that. Because they don't know each other, but they know how to love. And they learn to love. They learn to do the right thing, to treat each other with love and respect, and the feelings come. Anyway, a little bit of a sidetrack there, but 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but notice it says in deed and in truth. Love is action. Love is what we do. And that's what Paul is saying to Philemon. He says, I've heard of your love that you've had toward Jesus and toward the saints. I've heard of it. I've heard of the things that you've done out of love for Jesus and for your brothers and sisters in Christ. But not only is love action, but faith is action. Now, if you go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I want to show you this, that our faith is evident in what we do. Now, James wrote about this, and a lot of people misinterpret what James was trying to say. James wasn't trying to say that we are saved by what we do, but what he was saying was that our faith is evident in what we do. That if we are saved, it's going to be obvious because it's going to come out in our actions. Notice 1 Thessalonians 1:3, he mentions here, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. So there it is again. Work of faith. Now, most of us are familiar with Hebrews 11. Let's turn there quickly. This is often referred to as the faith chapter because it records a lot of the Old Testament saints and what they did or accomplished through faith in the Lord. And just quickly, I want you to look at some things. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered. He did something. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. So by faith, he did something. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. Action. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered. Verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Those are just some examples, but you see what happens. By faith, they did something. And Paul is writing to Philemon saying, I've heard about your love and about your faith because it's evident in what you do. And it should be true for each of us that our faith should be obvious because of our actions. And that's what he's talking about. Go back to our passage when he mentions the communication of thy faith. That word communication is an older usage of the word. It's not just talking about our words, but it's talking about our entire behavior, all of our demeanor, everything that we do. That's our communication. And he says, the communication of thy faith. God wants our faith to be communicated to others. That's what this whole passage is about. That Philemon was an example of a believer whose faith was communicated to other believers through love. Look at Romans 12, please. Just want to show you an example. But all through the Scriptures, we're told that God wants our faith to be communicated to others. Notice Romans 12:13. The Bible tells us here, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. That word distributing, same word as communicating. Which means we're to be passing out our faith. Every time we witness to a lost person, we're distributing our faith, communicating our faith. Every time we reach out to be a blessing to someone, maybe to comfort someone, maybe even to rebuke someone, maybe to help someone, we are communicating our faith. We're not just saying, I believe in Jesus, but look, I believe in Jesus because look what I'm doing. Not in the sense of look at me, but here is the evidence of my faith. And he's saying that this man Philemon was an example of someone who communicated his faith to others. One more example, Philippians chapter 4, if you would turn there. Paul here is commending the church at Philippi for this very thing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. The Bible says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Same word. Look at verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the context of Philippians 4:19, which most of us know or at least know of. My God's going to supply all your needs. But he's writing to the Philippians who had communicated with him their faith by giving him a love offering, helping him along his way in his ministry. He says, no other church communicated with me when I left Macedonia except for you. And he's thanking them for their help, thanking them for their love gift, and says, and because you did that for God's church planter, he's going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because you communicated your faith, God's going to bless you. Which is how it works, right? Given shall be given unto you, the Bible says. So God wants us to be communicators of our faith. Just as Philemon was. Notice back in our passage, Philemon, he says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Effectual. Or effective. And he mentions in verse 7 what he means by that. He says, we have great joy and consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. What he's saying is that God wants the communication of our faith to really make a difference, to be effective in the lives of others. And again, if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 this time, this word effectual, this is an important word. And so God is saying, it's not enough that you reach out to communicate your faith, but do it effectually. Do it in a way that makes an impact in the lives of others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Same word. God wants the communication of our faith to become effectual, to really have an impact in the lives of others. And so, go back to our passage. He tells us this is what needs to happen, but then he tells us the how. And this is what's exciting. He says, I want the communication of your faith to be effectual. I want your faith and your love to be obvious in the way that you reach out and touch other lives for Jesus Christ. But then he goes on to say, verse 6, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. This is beautiful. Because he's saying, I want your faith to be communicated and I want it to be communicated effectually. And by the way, you can't do it on your own. Because you don't have the resources to do it on your own. We're just wicked sinners saved by grace. What can we do? What can we do to touch others? What can we do to influence others? What can we do to encourage others, to lift them up, or to do whatever we need to do to be a blessing to God's people? Nothing. But what he's saying is that we already have within us the capability or the power to accomplish it in the person of God who indwells us when we get saved. And so what he's saying to Philemon, he says, I've heard about what's happened, how you've been a blessing to so many people, how your faith and your love's been communicated. I want it to be effectual. He says, how? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It's already there. Go to John chapter 15 and we'll see where Jesus explained this. Which means none of us can get to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I wasn't able to communicate my faith effectually to others. We can't say that. Because God's going to say, but I was in you. The power was already there. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the day you got saved, the Holy Ghost came upon you and indwelt you. And if we will acknowledge what He is capable of doing and acknowledge the gifts that He's already given us and the fruit, then let Him do it through us. It's all about yielding to Him. Notice John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Isn't that great? Jesus is saying, you can't do anything without me. And yet, how often do we try? I know I'm supposed to be a blessing to others, and I do, and we reach out, we try our best, and then we fail. Well, maybe we're not letting Jesus do it. Because he says, without me, you could do nothing. That's what God means when he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When you hear about all those things, they're all about making a difference in God's program. We don't have the strength or the power to accomplish any of those things. But God does. And God lives in us. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruit of our spirit, the fruit of His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so what he's saying to Philemon is, I want the communication of your faith and your love to be effectual. And I want you to acknowledge what's already in you in Christ Jesus so that it can be effectual. And as long as you let God do it through you, it'll be effectual. Because God does everything right. Let's look at Colossians, please, chapter 1, And just make sure we get this nailed down this morning that it's not about us. It's about God and it's about others. And if we would yield to the Holy Spirit who indwells us, He will give us what we need to effectually communicate our faith and love to others. He promised that He would. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Look at chapter 2 now, Colossians, verse 10. Look what it says. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, yes, we have to grow as Christians after we get saved. We're babies. We need to feed on the Word. We need to grow in our faith. But the fruit of the Spirit doesn't grow. The fruit of the Spirit is all there the day we get saved because He's all there. What we need to grow in is learning to yield and surrender to Him so that He can work through us. We're just conduits of God's love, of God's grace, of God's faith, of God's mercy, God's joy, all of these things. We're just conduits of what God already has given us, an infinite reservoir of God's amazingness. And just it's just about learning from the time we get saved until we get taken home how to tap into that reservoir. And that's what He's saying. I want the communication of your faith and love to be effectual. And it can be effectual as long as you learn to acknowledge what you already have in Christ Jesus. Acknowledge it to be true, because it is. That's what the Bible means when it tells us in Romans chapter 6 to reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. In other words, it's already true. The day we got saved, we were crucified with Christ. It's just learning to make it practically true. That's what takes time, because we're selfish and prideful and so forth. So it's already a done deal that we have the Holy Spirit and all of His infinite gifts and fruit. It's already a done deal that He can help us accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. The tough part is learning to let Him do it. That's the tough part. Because we get in the way. We let ourselves get in the way. So in our last verse here this morning, we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. So Philemon's faith and love has been physically communicated. And he's saying it's obvious because look at these saints, brother. We know he's writing to a Christian who have been blessed by you. That's real. When people are blessed by the communication of your faith and love, then that's what God wanted to accomplish, to touch other lives through us. And he's saying, Philemon, it's happened for you. I'm going to hold you up as an example. I'm going to write it in God's Word, and people are going to read about it for thousands of years, what you did. Just the communication of your faith and love. It was effectual. How do I know this? Because the bowels of the saints were refreshed by you. So when our faith is effectually communicated, others are positively affected for God. And that's what God wants. The Bible tells us to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. God will give us the empathy that we need. God will give us the compassion that we need to be a blessing to others, to refresh others. As we're told in Galatians 5:13, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's why we've been left here, to serve one another. The Bible tells us Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are here to make a difference in the lives of others. And God has already given us all that we need for that to be a reality. We're told to edify, we're told to encourage, we're told to admonish, we're told to love one another, and on we could go. Do we have the capability to do it? Yep, it's all there. Because the Creator of the universe lives in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So it all comes down to us. Acknowledging. That's what he says. By the acknowledging of what you already have. And allowing God to accomplish it. So God wants our faith, our love, which he's given us, to be communicated effectually, such that other lives are impacted for Jesus. You know, when you think about it, when we leave this earth, don't you want that to be what you're remembered for? The people that you touched for Jesus? Not how much money you made. You know, not how big of a house you had. But how many people were touched by your life? God saved us because he loves us, but he left us here to touch others effectually. A communication of thy faith. That's God's will for each of us. Let's pray.